You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on Wednesday, May 19th. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny. We are the team at BadgersWire.com. I am a play-by-play broadcaster for Badger sports, including basketball and football. Ben joins me at BadgersWire.com, also a contributor at The Zone Madison. Do you have a title at The Zone yet?
Yeah, producer.
You're a producer. Full on. Technical full-on producer at The Zone Madison.
Yes, sir.
I'm part-time at ESPN Radio Madison, so we are beautiful rivals in that sense, but we are most importantly coming together to be your hosts right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Badger sports. Make sure you listen and follow if you're on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find Ben and I at Locked On Badgers. Also find us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers and our personal Twitters at ALOW_33 and at Ben Z Kenny. A lot to get to today. Kind of a two-part episode. We have two different ways to go with this. We're going to start with expectations and kind of broad expectations for Wisconsin basketball in 2022 as the roster looks pretty much filled out now and the transfers are made. Isaac Lindsay was officially announced yesterday, transfer from UNLV, and Wisconsin has brought in a couple different guys as transfers, the latest being Chris Vogt from Cincinnati, a big man that Wisconsin desperately needed, Brad Davison coming back. How does it all fit together? What should you be expecting for this team in terms of a March run where they finish in the Big Ten? We're going to get into all of that in just a second, and we're going to finish up with a game that's probably only a one-time game, but it's a game nonetheless. So Camp Randall, Ben, as I'm sure you saw, and I think you actually did the article at BadgersWire.com about Camp Randall's renovation. They're renovating the south end zone, right? It's that end zone, the far end zone. If you're entering from the student gate, when I'm entering on the student gate, it's the far end zone. So the end zone opposite the student section is getting a full renovation. They're going to add like a club in there, some nice places to sit, a whole different look. And Ben and I were thinking if we could do one thing to, it doesn't have to be Camp Randall, to any Wisconsin athletic facility. So the Kohl Center is fair game. Goodman Softball Complex is fair game. Any Wisconsin facility, if we could make one renovation, Barry didn't have a say. It was our dictatorship. What would we do? And we're going to tell you what that renovation would be for each of us at the end of the show. But we're going to start on the hardwood, Ben, with Wisconsin basketball, a team that a year ago didn't live up to expectations. I think that's fair to say. And there are many reasons as to why. I'm writing a kind of longer form piece that'll come out either tonight or tomorrow about why they didn't live up to expectations, but also about what expectations should be for this coming year. And a team that finished 18-13 overall, 10-10 in conference play, but at one time was the number four team in the country. It's hard to believe, but they were ranked number four in the country early on in the year, a team that was perennial top 10 before the year started in basically every single ranking you could possibly find. The Badgers were expected to do something a little more than finish as a 9 seed and lose in the second round to eventual national champion Baylor, and it didn't work out that way.
So I have a theory. First of all, I want to start off the episode by issuing an apology. Yesterday, as we were closing, I mentioned that Aaron Rodgers was going on Kenny Mayne Sports Center. I'm an idiot, and it wasn't last night. I read the tweet, and I didn't read when the interview was. It's happening on Monday night. So I want to say I'm sorry to anybody who listened to that, turned on Sports Center like I did, and realized that this wasn't actually his last show. So there's the start. In terms of basketball, I have a theory when it comes to Wisconsin athletics, football and basketball specifically, that when they enter a season ranked in the top five of the country, top seven, and everyone in the nation is saying, you know, this is a team that could contend for a national championship. This is a team that'll win the Big Ten. They don't perform as well. Now, aside from the one basketball run when Bo Ryan took that team back to the Final Four and they lost in the national championship, that's been the rule when this happens. Now, this is not a scientific theory, but it's just something that goes through my mind. We saw it in 2017 with the football team. They go into the season number four in the country and they finish the year 8-5. And a real similar vibe happened last year with basketball where they go in at number four, five or six. They win a couple games to start and then they falter as soon as they get into Big Ten play. So yes, I would say that they did not live up to expectations, but given my theory that I'm creating in my head and it's getting proven right, like I don't think it's going to happen. if they go into a year in the top three?
Well, this year, as we get into their expectations, I can guarantee you nobody thinks they're going to be in the top three in the Big Ten, and nobody's going to have them in their preseason top 25, or at least I'd be very surprised if any publication did.
And well, there you go.
There are a few reasons as to why. First one is obvious. Ton of seniors leave. You heard last year about experience and how much experience this Wisconsin basketball team had and how old they were and how, get your shot glasses ready, their average age in the starting lineup was older than the Chicago Bulls. That's serious, by the way. It's Michael Jordan's intro song. Very, very poor rendition, but that was serious. I was trying to do it. No, not trying to be serious. That's the name of the song. Anyway, Wisconsin basketball lost all their Chicago Bulls age. They lost all that experience, except for one man, Brad Davison, coming back for a fifth year. But Ben, I saw today, and people want to say how old Brad Davison
is.
I saw today that Jalen Coleman Lands, this is not related to Wisconsin, but it relates to, stop calling Brad old, because there are way older college basketball players, and I'm about to tell you one right now. A guy transferred to Kansas from Iowa State named Jalen Coleman Lands, very good player, really good three-point shooter. He's going on his seventh year of college basketball. He started his career in college basketball at Illinois in the Big Ten when Brad Davison was a junior in high school.
Do you know who the number one overall recruit in his high school recruiting class was?
Jalen Coleman Lands?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Wait, what year? 2014?
2015. I saw it today.
Let me guess. One sec. Give me a moment here. Oh, man. 2016 NBA draft. That's what I'm trying to think of here. The 2016 NBA draft. Who is a fourth year? What year was Simmons number one?
It's Ben Simmons.
I was right?
Yeah.
Ben Simmons? I was pretty hesitant there, but I was pretty sure it was
Ben
Simmons.
No, it's spot on.
I got it.
He was in the same high school class as freaking Ben Simmons.
Let's go. I got it right. Ben Simmons is a vet. He's the oldest player on the Philly team. No, not really.
Still can't shoot.
He's an old NBA player by the standards we have today in this modern league of youngsters. Anyway, Jalen Coleman Lands is old. Brad Davison is also old, but nowhere near as old as some other guys, is my point. Alongside Brad, you have a ton of young guys, a ton of young talent. Lauren Bowman and Chucky Hepburn are your options at lead guard outside of Brad. One of those two will be handling the basketball a lot this year. And I think that one of those two will be starting for sure alongside Brad. Which one is it going to be? Now, I know that Badger fans, and I think I've said this before on the pod, Ben, I know that Badger fans have an idea that it's going to be Chucky, and that's kind of been the hype building for Wisconsin around a Chucky Davison backcourt and just Chucky Hepburn's career in general building because of the great high school season he just had in Nebraska. He's a fantastic player at this point in his career. He's great. Now, I've heard some different things from people who that remain nameless, but from a guy who was on the Badger team, okay, who told me that a year ago when Lauren Bowman came for a visit, it was a little over a year ago, actually, already committed, but wasn't a Badger yet, was a senior in high school. He came for a visit. And he was, and I quote this guy, the best player on the court in pickup. The best player on the court in pickup. Just dogging people. With that, you have to add a grain of salt. Because Lauren Bowman hasn't played basketball for a year, at least competitively in games. And there is no replacement for playing basketball in games. You can work out all you want. There's no replacement for D1 basketball or D1 practice. You can get better. You can work on your skills. But you can't play defense the same way, right? You can't work on your defense. You can't work on situational reads the same way you can in a game. It's just not the same thing. So that's interesting, but we'll see what he looks like a year removed from that praise and a year removed from playing competitive basketball.
Yeah, well, I guess this is what's so good about this year coming up is that we're not going into the year with a set starting four, starting five. Like last year, there was that whole thing with guards late game defensive lineup that he would put in. and everybody would be mad when the lineup really just couldn't score. But going into this year, I think it's going to be really good because expectations are so different. People know that this is a transition year for the program, for the team. So I don't think it really matters if Hepburn or Bowman starts. The whole point of this year is that we want to see a lot of them and we want to see them get better. But I'll ask this, where do you see
as well?
I was about to say that. Where do you see Neath fitting in? Or is this just like that's the 3-point guard kind of rotation?
He's probably the guy that I know the least about in terms of where they're actually going to fit in this year. Like, he could be firmly in the rotation to start the year. He could not be playing much. I genuinely am not sure. So with Neath, you had the issue with a coaching change at Wake Forest, played a lot less under the coach that didn't recruit him, played a lot more under Danny Manning at Wake, the guy that did recruit him. Did he get worse? No, I think he just had a coach that didn't recruit him. And coaches recruit guys that they want, that are their guys, that play their style, that play in their systems. That's how college basketball works. You don't recruit all the best players all the time. A lot of coaches recruit to a system.
Right.
Well, I mean, all the time.
I'll say this, and this is a good sign for Neath and how much he will play. I've found throughout following college sports that whenever you just mentioned it with recruiting, but whenever someone transfers to a school, they are transferring to that school because the coach and the program wants them there. So there's a reason that Greg Gard went out and sought him, because he sees him as part of this program. So that's good for his prospects of playing. I don't see him coming in and not having a role, because then why would have Gard gone out and done that? But that's the same thing with recruiting out of high school.
He is way more athletic than Bowman or Hepburn, just in terms of pure athleticism. If you like went into an NFL combine type thing and just tested them, like, Neath would be off the charts compared to those two. But he's not exactly a polished basketball player quite yet, as those other two I would say are in different ways. Yeah. Hepburn even more than Bowman right now, just because we haven't seen Bowman. I can't say that about Lauren Bowman right now because he hasn't played in a while, but I think he was that for sure coming out. Chucky Hepburn has a lot of really, really good things to like that you see on tape. His IQ, the decisions he makes, the shot that's gotten better and better over the last few years, just hitting open jumpers, and then the ability to finish inside, but also the ability to make the right play. And that's something I've noticed with him on tape, is that he's not afraid to shoot 15 shots a game. He's not afraid to shoot 5 shots a game. If that's not there, he's also not afraid to play defense. That's the one thing I think about him and Bowman. They're both coming in as guys that were very good defenders at the high school level.
Yeah. So I guess before we get to where we see this team specifically within the Big Ten, or kind of what our outlook is for how they'll perform, I'm going to present to you two possible starting lineups. And it easily could be a mixed match of this, but I guess this will lead into what you see the lineup looking like when they start. So the number one is Greg Gard could go and say, hey, I have these young guys that I recruited, that I brought to this program, that were either already in the program or that are coming in as freshmen that I want to play. So that youth movement kind of lineup would be Chucky Hepburn at point guard, or Bowman, Brad Davison at shooting guard, Jonathan Davis, Tyler Wall, and then either Steven Crowell or Ben Carlson, depending on whoever they're matched up against in the size. That's option one. Option two is these transfers really come in. They make a big impact early, and Gard says, you know what? These guys could be around for a bit. I want to see them start. That would be Jacoby Neath at point guard, Brad Davison, again, at shooting guard, Davis at small forward, Wall, and then Chris Vogt at center. So it could be a mismatch of those two, but kind of from those two, where would you see that starting five going? And it's really point guard and center that are up in the air, because Davis and Wall are pretty locked in.
So I think it depends on who you're playing. And I don't think Wisconsin with this team should have a set starting lineup necessarily. Maybe a starting lineup they go to kind of like they did early in the year last year, where they just go to it for 3 or 4 minutes. Which I don't really understand, to be honest. I never got that whole thing. And then Wisconsin obviously changed that middle of the year. They went to Reavers to start, and they went to Potter to start, and it kind of went back and forth a little bit, but it ended up really just being Reavers starting, only playing a couple minutes, then Potter coming in and playing more minutes than Reavers by the end of the year, and them almost never playing together besides a couple minutes against North Carolina in that game. In the second half of the year, that is. They started the year playing together, of course. And I'll give you my answer in just a sec of who I think should be the Wisconsin starting lineup. But first, a quick message from Built Bar. BuiltBar.com is the best place to go to get the best protein bar in the world. Built Bars are made different. They are quite literally built different. With 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, some bars even have 18 grams of protein. Just 5 grams of sugar is the max in any bar, no matter what flavor you get. None has more than 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. And these flavors are to die for. Mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate. My personal favorite is the banana nut bread, along with the salted caramel. A big, big salted caramel guy, big banana bread in real life guy, and banana bread in the Built Bar kind of tastes like that real life homemade banana bread a little bit. That interior filling gives you that mom's banana bread type flavor. Built Bar is the best post-workout snack I could possibly think of. And the best part is you can try all those flavors. You can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors that I listed: coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Oh my, that oh my wasn't in the read. I just did that for fun. Oh my. Make sure you order Built Bar and use the promo code LOCKED15. 15% off your first order. 15% off your first order, LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Seriously, they're actually fantastic. I eat one quite literally every single day. LOCKED15, 15% off, BuiltBar.com. Wisconsin starting lineup in 2021 to 22. We haven't even talked about Johnny Davis yet. And we've talked about Wisconsin basketball for about 10, 15 minutes now to start the show, which is interesting. And I think it's fun because we kind of know what Johnny Davis is going to bring, sort of. I think he's going to be the leading scorer on this team. I think that he's going to take a step forward. I think we've seen a lot of what he can do in limited stints as a freshman. He had some struggles, of course, second half of the year, but what freshman really doesn't have their down moments playing alongside, I should say, a lot of guys that have been there and a lot of guys that have played with each other for many years. I don't think he got the opportunities because of playing against guys that, you know, demanded their shots and demanded the ball and demanded to be the focal point at times. And that was okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think Trice should have the ball in his hands at the end of the shot clock. I think Trice should be the guy taking shots at the end of games, and that's okay. But that's Johnny Davis's turn now to do that. He should be the guy taking shots at the end of games. He should be the guy isolating at the end of the shot clock. He should be the bailout guy. That should be Jonathan Davis this year on this Wisconsin team, and I'm excited to see him in that role. But getting back to the starting lineup question, I would start this 5 against most teams, as from what I know right now. I'd start Brad, then I'd start Chucky / Lauren. I put the / there because I just don't know what Lauren is right now. You need to go through camp to really see that. You need to go through a summer and a fall, beginning of a fall, I should say, to see that. But Brad, Lauren / Chucky, Johnny Davis, and I'd actually go smaller but more versatile with Tyler Wall and Ben Carlson. That's to me the front court I'd play against most teams, because I think that gives you the best chance of being versatile defensively. I think it gives you the best offensive lineup in terms of movement, not clogging the paint. And all 5 of those guys can play on the perimeter, which I think is a fun, different wrinkle that this Wisconsin team should look towards, because it opens things up for guys that are more of drivers in Johnny Davis. He's more of a slasher than a standstill shooter. He's a guy that needs space in the lane that he didn't have much of, by the way, playing with the guys he played with. It didn't really suit him to play with a true big man or to play with even 2 true big men. Essentially, whenever he's on the court, he has a guy that's looking to post offensively, and that doesn't really help him. Like, how many times did you notice him get by his initial defender and then a real crowd around him in the painted area?
Well, a lot, because they would play to that part of his game. I'm not going to answer that question with a rant about Reavers and how he would stay on the perimeter too long, but a lot.
Anyway, those 5 guys is who I would start. I think Chris Vogt has a role in the starting lineup against true bigs, like really good offensive bigs. And we'll see what he brings if he's healthy. I really hope he is healthy. Steven Crowell is an interesting name to throw out there, a guy that played at the end of last year in some meaningful minutes at the very end of the year, and someone that was clearly coming on as the year went on, second half of the year in practice, that led him to play those meaningful minutes. Matthew Morris, another interesting name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this about Chris Vogt. I he'll obviously have a role when they play a Purdue with Zach Edey and they need someone that large inside to guard him. But we're not going to see Chris Vogt close basketball games. We can't. We talked about it when we were talking about him transferring to Wisconsin. He is abysmal at the free throw line.
Yeah. So I think one of the most knows that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but one of the most important lineups, and we said it all season, one of the most important lineups a basketball coach can put on the court is the one that closes games. You know, like
the starters don't matter as much. The most important.
There you go.
That's for sure.
So Chris Vogt may be starting some games. He may be getting significant minutes, but he will not close basketball games for this team.
And I'm really interested to see which of Carlson or Wall would take that challenge of guarding a big. like I don't know. I mean, Tyler Wall got a lot stronger.
Tyler Wall on Zach Edey?
He got stronger from freshman to sophomore year. Zach Edey is a different animal.
Zach
Edey also doesn't close games. At least he didn't this past year. He will this year, I would assume. Yeah.
Well, he closed the game against Wisconsin.
He did, yeah. Given who they lost.
And by close, I mean he was just unstoppable, and they won because no one could stop
him. Badger Twitter would tell you he traveled every time he touched the ball, but, I mean, There were like two travels. He really wasn't traveling every time he touched the ball. People, there were like maybe two that you'd call on him. Anyway, that's what I do about the starting lineup. I'd go a little more versatile, a little more switchable defensively, and some guys that can keep the paint less crowded for the slashers that Wisconsin has. Because I actually think Tyler Wall is way better at slashing than he is as a standstill shooter. I think he really showed us actually something in the post as well a little bit, like in the mid-post area. If he catches it 12 feet away against someone one-on-one, like he was scoring those opportunities pretty consistently last year.
Well, he did struggle to finish at times, but that was like a team-wide epidemic that I just can't explain. There was something with the team last year where at the rim, even when it was a pretty easy look, they couldn't finish.
If you're listening, I doubt he is. My guy, Reed Osi, who is Brad Davidson's trainer this summer, I think he'll be working on finishing. I just have that. I have that inkling to think about. That's all I'll say about that.
Sure.
I think we could use some Mikan drills. I don't know. some Mikans, some guard Mikans. Mikans are tough. Anyway, we'll get to our renovations. If we could choose one renovation for any Wisconsin athletic facility, what would it be? We'll tell you in a sec. Ben will start us off. But first, a quick message from betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. If you want to bet on the NBA playoffs, if you want to bet on baseball every single night, if you want to bet on Wisconsin to win the Big Ten at plus 800 right now on betonline.ag, you can do that at the place that we trust at the Locked On Podcast Network. Live lines, every sport you could imagine, politics. I mean, they had the Australian election odds up there when I saw it last week. That was wild.
PGA Championship this weekend.
What do we got?
PGA Championship. It's one of the four golf majors.
Ben mentions golf. Check it off your bingo card at home. Locked On Badgers. You know how it is. Use the promo code Locked On. All caps, no spaces. Locked On. Use the promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus added to your initial deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Ben, start us off with our renovations. And I guess we should quickly, if you want to go through it quickly, what the Camp Randall renovation is going to look like, either before or after you give us your renovation that you would choose for any Wisconsin athletic facility if Barry gave you the keys to the car.
Oh, the football renovation looks sweet. And I'll go through that first. So on the end of the end zone opposite from the student section. Now all of the football stadiums that have kind of seating all the way around, in my opinion, are always the best. I kind of like that like variety where it's not like a full bowl, but it's like a bowl, but you also have like, you know, some different looks mixed in. So this is adding seats to that side of the end zone. And they're adding like a premium club for members, you know, some food, beverages, that kind of stuff. A terrace with like picnic tables out there where you could watch the game, some boxes. It's pretty much a whole kind of luxury renovation that also will like spruce up the look of that side of the stadium. So it looks sweet. My renovation that I would do, and I've thought this since I first watched Wisconsin play basketball. Around the Big Ten, some of the best home court advantages, we talked about them yesterday. Some of the best home court advantages come when you have students literally surrounding the court. Now, this renovation would be pretty impossible to pull off because the Kohl Center is a very, you know, pro-era type of arena. But if you look at Michigan State, I believe Michigan as well, when you have those student sections that instead of spanning one section going backwards, they span the length of the court around, one, the home, it looks better on television. The home court advantage is much more prevalent. I think if we take out like, I don't know, 10 rows of seats all the way around instead of that, like three sections on one side that span upwards and put students there and other people sit behind them, figure some way like for them to do that. I think it would make the Kohl Center much more, it is a good atmosphere, but I think it would spruce it up exponentially.
So mine is very broad, and it's because it's the worst high level in terms of the team, like a high level team that actually, you know, plays an NCAA tournament and is D1, is not club team, all that stuff. It is the worst D1 facility we have. And it's not even close. The worst D1 facility we have is McClyman Soccer Complex. I would not only make a renovation, I would just gut the whole thing and rebuild the goddamn soccer complex. Create a real stadium. We had Rose Lavelle, World Cup winner Rose Lavelle. We have great soccer teams year in, year out at Wisconsin, men's and women's. In fact, women's teams under Paula Wilkins have been even better than the men's teams in my time covering that sport at Wisconsin announcing their games. They've been phenomenal. And they deserve, they almost won the Big Ten championship this year, came up short against Iowa in the championship game, but they deserve a real place to play, a D1 place to play. Plus, the broadcasts are a mess because the broadcast booth is a disaster. When ESPNU comes in there, it's a mess. And so, yes, selfishly a little bit, please just redo the broadcast booth, the press box. Just redo it, please. But Kleiman, we need a new soccer complex in Madison. If you have some ideas for renovations, let us know at Locked On Badgers on Twitter, at AOW_33, at Ben Z Kenny. As always, on Wisconsin.
Wait, to close, I did a call for action yesterday on the Locked On Badgers Twitter account, and I did a poll that asked people what we talked about yesterday. Does Wisconsin football have a student attendance problem in terms of the first quarter? I said, if the poll finished yes, Asher and I would brainstorm ways to fix it. It did finish yes. So coming up soon, Asher and I will fix Wisconsin's attendance problem. Theon Hicks, we got you.